Hey, everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio, rocking and rolling from a jam-packed Phoenix Convention Center, the site of the Final Four. And we all remember our next guest for what he did last year in the NCAA tournament with the greatest upset I've ever seen in March Madness, and that was when Fairleigh Dickinson, as a 16, did defeat number one Purdue. Now joining us is the head coach of Iona, and that, of course, is Tobin Anderson here with us. Tobin, great to see you. How you been?
I'm good, Zach. How are you doing? Good to be on.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. So now, a year removed from the upset, obviously you've taken the Iona job, and you were there this past year replacing Coach Pitino since he did go to St. John's. Just how do you kind of look back at year one for your program?
It's been a crazy last 3 years. I've had three jobs in 3 years, Division II to FTU to Iona, so it's actually a little more settled now. Actually, it's settled as can be, but it's good. You know, it's like the FTU thing was incredible. The experience was awesome to have that kind of run, and it's helped. It's opened doors for us in recruiting. People know who we are a little bit, know who I am a little bit. Iona's obviously a great program, so we're just trying to get things going again and want to get back to the dance and win some games. That's the whole thing.
So that win, obviously, is the apex of your career so far, but how do you make sure that there's other moments than that? So when you go into kids' rooms, it's not, oh, this is just Tobin Anderson, the guy that was a part of FDU.
Yeah, that'll wear off after a while, right? So you gotta go win some games after that as well. So, no, I think once you've been in this environment and had a chance to win games in the tournament, it's such a drug. You want to get back here as soon as you can and win and have a chance to advance, and so we're all motivated to do that and have more experiences. But yeah, we need to get back here next year. That's the whole goal.
We all remember after the playing game your speech to your team, and that got let out and that got broadcasted publicly. But I think it showed the mentality that you need, because everyone could say, oh, we expect to win. But there's a difference in saying it and actually believing it. And it's amazing how your team knew when they got on the court that even though everyone looked at you guys as a Cinderella, you guys didn't have a Cinderella kind of mentality.
Well, I knew our guys, right? And our guys thrive off trying to prove people wrong, chip on their shoulder. Like, they were our three best players. The three guys in that Purdue game were all Division II transfers. Kind of like the kid in Oakland, they wanted to go show the world they belonged at that stage. And so I knew playing into that a little bit would get them going. So, when you have guys like that, they're motivated to play at the highest level. So I probably stirred it up a little bit too much, but I thought we had a chance to do something special, and those guys, they definitely proved that.
Coach Tobin Anderson here with us. I think it's the most boss baller move we've ever seen in March Madness, because anyone can right pull off an upset. Your guys is totally in a different category. We know it's only happened twice. You guys were the second time. But to basically guarantee that it was going to happen, low risk and an extremely high reward, right?
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't really part of the whole plan to make it that big of a speech. I mean, it was more for my players, but then, of course, the whole world cup. It was just funny how that blew up in a short amount of time. We actually got on the bus to go drive to Columbus to go play Purdue, and all of a sudden it was all over social media, the speech, and I'm like, what the hell did I just do? You know, I probably did too much. And as people who know me, I tend to talk off the cuff too much sometimes. But it ended up working out. I told my guys, I apologized to them. Said, listen, guys, I shouldn't have said that. They're like, nah, coach, we got your back, man. Let's go get it done. So I kind of knew in the team that it was going to work out pretty well for us. I didn't know if we were going to win, but I thought we'd play our tails off, have a chance to win, because our guys were jacked up.
So things move so quickly.
Yep.
You get that win. Eventually, you guys get eliminated from the tourney. And then the next thing you know, you're moving on and you're now the head coach of Iona. When did it kind of hit you? Was there a moment in the off season where it hit you, wow, look at what we were able to accomplish at FDU?
I got to be honest, because you're so busy going into recruiting, I really haven't had a chance. I mean, I see clips all the time. I watch things all the time. You see, memories, and I've done a ton of interviews and things like that. So you still have those moments. I think more so as we go down the road, it'll have more of a chance to kind of look back and say, wow, I was pretty special. I mean, as the tournaments come closer this year, watching what Purdue's playing obviously very, very well, to see – more so now to look back and say, man, I can't believe I can't believe we beat these guys because they are a heck of a team, and Zach Edey is a force. But you're so busy now, the way college basketball goes, it's just nonstop. We've been recruiting. I feel like I've been recruiting since the day we, you know, the day I got the Iona job. That's all we've done, and we're back at it again now. So it's, there's not a lot of time to sit back and reflect anymore like there used to be. You don't really get a chance to enjoy. There's really not an off season, as most coaches will tell you. So we're right back at it. But no, listen, it's a special thing. We still talk about it. My kids still love talking about it. So that's a good thing.
Well, it's neat to see where the story is a year later, because just like when UMBC beat Virginia, yep. Then the next year Virginia gets to the Final Four, they win the two games, they win the national championship, and you're always a part of really the fabric of that story, because that was the beginning really for Purdue.
Yeah, we kind of maybe woke them up a little bit, and then listen, in the tournament at some point you have a bad game, right? Every team has a game where it's going to be close, it's going to be tough, you got to try to grind through it, except for UConn. So if you can win that game, if they beat us last year, maybe all of a sudden they go on a run and go to the Final Four, a chance to win it. You never know. So it's like you got to kind of win those grinded out kind of games. Like there'll be a game, one of these games on Saturday will be closer than expected, and whoever can not play their best and still get a win, it's a huge advantage, because most of the time you'll play your best, but there'll always be a game and it's not, and if you can just find a way to steal that one, that's a huge advantage.
How do you prepare for a Zach Edey?
Oh God. I remember last year, just like we had a graduate assistant, Mike Holloway, who we just were like, hey, this, but he's 6'6". I mean, he's not 7'4". I mean, I remember before the game where I like to come out before the game and sit on the sideline and watch other teams warm up. So I remember Purdue walking out and saying, man, they're not that big. They're kind of like us. And then Edey walked out. I'm like, oh my God. I mean, he is a legit 7'4". There's nobody else like him. I'll tell you what he is. He's such a great offensive rebounder too. He's just so big and strong, and you can't keep him off the offensive glass. So how do you prepare? I think you just got to do what you do and try to, like, I don't know if NC State's a great matchup for them, because I think the things that Burns does well are kind of what Edey does well a little bit too, as far as playing around the post, playing. And I'm not sure that Edey will get scored upon or will get in foul trouble, because he just won't foul. So you got to make him run a little bit if you can. You got to make him defend. You got to make him have to guard stuff. And then you got to hope that he misses those little 4-foot, 6-foot shots, you know. And you got, if you foul him, he's shooting free throws pretty well right now. So I think the advantage has to be in the backcourt, where your guards have to cause him problems. And I think NC State's got good guards. I know UConn's got really good guards defensively, which I think will cause Purdue problems if they play on Monday night.
Yeah, and that's what I think we're going to. I do believe that Purdue's going to beat NC State. I'm just curious, can Alabama give UConn a game? Because we know they could score. Their defense has gotten better in this tournament, but then it's still UConn where they haven't even played their best basketball yet, and they're still beating everyone by 20 points.
Alabama is a very good offensive team. And if they shoot threes and Nelson makes threes and Sears makes threes and those guys play well, I mean, there's a chance to hang around. And the one thing, UConn has not been tested yet. They haven't played a close game in a long time. So I think if Alabama can hang around and make it into a second-half game, all of a sudden there's 8 minutes to go and it's a tie score, it's a one-possession game, they got a chance. But UConn is just playing at a really high level right now. And they got a little bit of edge to them, too. A little bit of, Hurley. I mean, I've known the Hurley family for a long time. They've all got an edge. The dad had an edge.
Runs
to
in the
him.
Family.
I love senior.
Him.
Yeah, he's great. And he's been a good friend. And Kevin used to come to our practice. So we came to our practice one time when I was at Division II, and there was a little bit of a skirmish. And I could just see his eyes light up. Like, he likes stuff like that. So they got an edge to him like no one else has.
When I was at Temple, and the attendance wasn't great for the game, it was Rhode Island and Temple, and Danny and Bobby were on the same staff. And I love Fran Dunphy, but Fran isn't the most vocal. And just hearing Danny and Bobby nonstop throughout the entire game, I've never heard coaches like that.
Yeah, people are like, he's trying to soup things up. Like, Danny Hurley is himself, man. He is wired on a daily basis. So there's no doubt he'll have his team ready to play. When I was at Siena as an assistant, he was a Wagner's head coach then, he got teed up in a scrimmage. There was nobody in the gym, and he got teed up because he was going after the official. I almost got tossed out. I'm like, what is he doing? That's just who he is. And like Cam Spencer, man, I love watch that. That guy's like him. I mean, they're just a tough, hard-nosed guys that are playing with an edge right now, and they have talent, obviously. So it's going to be hard to beat them. But I think Bama can hang around and make some threes. Going to have to shoot the ball well, but it'll be interesting to watch.
Last thing I'll ask you, because I saw this on social media, you took your family to go see Caitlin Clark go through the whole experience as they do play tonight up against UConn with Paige Buckets?
It's just crazy, right? So I grew up, I'm from Iowa, so I'm a huge, I still love my home state. My family's still, I got a lot of family out there. So my daughter, who doesn't even play basketball, she's a dancer, but she loves to watch the games. I'm not sure she's ever watched a women's game until this year, and she's like, well, I gotta go watch, I want to watch Caitlin Clark play. So we drove up there, watched the game on Monday night, and to be in that arena to watch the LSU-Iowa game, and the excitement there was for that thing, and the enthusiasm for women's basketball. Caitlin Clark, man, a lot of people helped that, but she's really kind of been the driving force for the last couple of years of getting people excited. Like, I mean, I think the whole world's going to watch the games tonight. I was on a Zoom with a recruit this morning, and me and the recruit and his mom talked about the women's Final Four for like 10 minutes. That never would have happened. So I think it's a great thing for basketball, women's basketball. And she's a once in a generation talent. I mean, she's just such a good player, and the way she shoots the ball and the way she passes the ball, just a lot of fun to watch. So I'll be having my Hawkeye shirt on tonight, rooting like crazy for the Hawks to get to the national final. That'd be great. I think I go play South Carolina, who's really good too. So it's gonna be should be a fun weekend. I mean, all around, right? I mean,
100%.
I'm looking forward to both sides. So it should be a lot of fun.
When I watch Caitlin, I see, like, she's the female version of Steph Curry, and then I also see the killer mentality of a Tom Brady and also a Patrick Mahomes. Who do you see when you watch her?
I think that Steph Curry thing is good. I said in my tweet that I never saw Pistol Pete play. I used to watch all the highlights, and my dad was a high school coach, so I always watched the Pistol Pete films and videos and things like that. And she makes behind the back passes, she makes no look passes, she sees things that no one else sees, right? And like, you're right, she walks out there and she's kind of skinny, she's not like, she's just kind of, she's not wearing arm sleeves, knee sleeves, she's just playing, she's just balling, right? And she's got that killer mentality of like, you're not going to stop me. Like, you better figure out something else to do here, because if she had 41 points and 15 assists or 14 assists in the biggest game maybe of the season. Like, she likes that kind of she likes all the smoke, as they say. She wants the notoriety, So I think she'll play great. It'll be fun tonight. I mean, the whole UConn thing where they didn't recruit her, That'll be interesting to see too. So no, she's like Steph Curry a little bit. The Pistol Pete flair a little bit, right? I like the Tom Brady idea too. She's mentally tough, you can tell. So typical Iowa. I talk to my staff all the time. Typical Iowa, mentally tough kind of people. So
he is Tobin Anderson, coach. Good luck at Iowa. A good deal. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Zach. I appreciate it.
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.